We welcome back Natasha Khan, who performs as Bat for Lashes to the World Cafe. Her first two albums, 2006's Fur and Gold and 2009's Two Sons, were each nominated for the Mercury Prize. Her new one is called The Haunted Man and includes a stark nude photograph of Natasha on the cover with a man strategically draped over her shoulders. We'll discuss that and hear stripped-down performances from the stage of World Cafe Live. I asked Natasha about those performances, if the simple versions were how the new songs were originally conceived.
The album itself is such a kind of technicolor version of the original demos and ideas that that were the sort of beginning points of all the songs. And for me, I suppose the things you heard today are closer to those early demos, just me sitting at home on my couch with my auto harp or playing some piano chords or just doing really simple drum machine beats that I wrote my songs to. So, when we prepared, it was just Ben Christophers and I. There's only two of us that could come over, and we sat in a little room and just prepared these songs for today. And it's always my objective to just do something kind of from left field a little bit, just to keep myself interested, and to reinterpret them can be really fun sometimes.
Well, for instance, might be All Your Gold, which we're going to start off with. You say it's just the two of you, and if you're listening to this, you may think instruments are being plucked. But instead, these are just some wonderful samples that you've put together.
We sampled a real harp, which obviously is quite hard to bring over to America and tune.
Anywhere.
And we sampled them into this great kind of sampler with pads that Ben plays, with nice bass notes that come in, octaves and things. And then I was singing and just play like a choral part over the end.
And let's listen to it. This is a version of All Your Gold live on stage at World Cafe Live with Bat for Lashes.
Take all my gold and hurt me.
All Your Gold, that is one from The Haunted Man, the new Bat for Lashes album. And that's, if you know it at all, you know that's a very special version of All Your Gold. The next song you did in your set, I want to play for people because this was one that didn't make it onto the album. Called, a song, beautiful song called Lumen. You described it as a lullaby. Describe a little bit about where this came up in the how come it didn't make it? What you were thinking about it, and why you're still in, you still obviously love the song and want to do it.
Yeah. Well, that song came up. There are actually like four or five songs that didn't make it onto the record just because the balance of the record felt good the way it was. And I'm always sad about those ones because they hover around pleadingly sort of wanting to be communicated. So they came out on like a bonus edition. And Lumen is a little story. It's about the conception of a little girl called Lumen and how the mother is singing to her from the future, you know, before she's born, that she's going to meet her again in this lifetime. And so it's about a night when a couple kind of conceive this child, and it's like a lullaby to her, really.
Beautiful song. This is Lumen. Find on the expanded edition of The Haunted Man, but that is a live version from the stage of World Cafe Live. Natasha Khan is our guest, and that is from Bat for Lashes, The Haunted Man album. We talk a little bit about making this record because there were... You talk about the balance of the record, and I find the record to be very, very cohesive, but there were a number of cooks. There was you, and you did something that you haven't done so much, which is collaborate with people. And maybe talk a little bit about the collaboration. I know Beck was involved, David Steck, and others. What's it like for you to give up that control in a way? To be a
I mean, I don't know if I really did. I'm still this sort of megalomaniac, crazy control freak. But I mean, really what happened, I suppose, is that in the past, during the kind of process of making a record, I've reached out to friends and musicians that I just know in my area that live in Brighton or whatever. Whereas this time, I suppose, I'd been through two albums and made some great contacts and met some incredible producers and eccentric, wonderful, you know, creative minds. And so really, I suppose the album, in the end, was produced by me with David Costin and Dan Carey, and we kind of kept that quite pure. And the other people I worked with, like Beck and Dave Sitek, people I visited, Rob Ellis, we went to Italy together and recorded some choral parts for the Haunted Man song. I think those people were more sounding boards and mirrors and people to play with, I suppose. They weren't that involved in the production, but they definitely contributed performances and ideas that were priceless to the record.
Two Sons was... was very, very thematic. It had a lot to do with the United States. And did a theme emerge on this one, or did it start with a theme, or how did you view it?
A theme emerged, and actually it was quite a conscious theme initially, which was that I would stay in England to write this record and not be travelling all over the world like I was on the second record especially. And so already I knew that it would have a very kind of... It would have a very kind of English theme. It would be on the back. The backdrop would be an English kind of landscape, English history, the history of my family in England and where I live. And then the album itself, I suppose, is very much based around womanhood and relationships, emotions and different textures and things that are going on for me as a woman in my 30s. And yeah, and it's all set against the backdrop of England.
Did you, speaking of your family history, was there, did you, were there things you found out that you didn't know about your family?
Yes, lots of things, lots of interesting things. Some of them personal and some of them just intriguing, like looking at pictures of my great-grandmothers, you know, really Victorian or even prior to that, Edwardian, and noticing that my dad's family, who are a Pakistani and therefore Muslim, and my mum's family, if you go back a few hundred years, everybody's wearing the dresses that cover up their wrists and ankles, and the women had to tie their hair back and wear very high-necked black clothes, and there was definitely this kind of very conservative approach to the way women presented themselves and were allowed to dress. And I found that connection really interesting because we sort of demonise one culture sometimes for that, whereas it was very recently, it was only in the last 100 years that women in England were doing the same thing. So I found that really interesting.
That is interesting. A lot has been made about speaking of being clothed, a lot has been made about the...
being unclothed.
about the cover of the album, where you are unclothed and yet draped with a man. I'd like to talk a little bit about that, but I also want to talk about there's a series of photographs that go with that. It seems they're all from the same session. Is a story being told as we go through it? Because the first is Natasha unclothed with sort of almost like a... Well, you'll have to describe what it means to you, but it's almost like I've read it described as if the gentleman who's draped over you is like the kill, and I thought that was a little odd. And
that's quite dark. That's the
truth. And then there's a couple of other photographs. One where he's kind of like a supplicant in your lap, and I'm curious as to was it part of a series? Was it seen as a series?
I suppose that for me the artwork on the record, especially the front cover. Looking at it now and looking at the record in hindsight, the record has a lot of themes of nurturing and kind of healing and feminine empathy and kind of nursing, I suppose, in some ways of this man who seems quite damaged and you know, sad and unable to communicate. So I think for me, there's definitely that aspect, but then also there's the nurturer, there's the little girl, there's the woman who's very powerful, and maybe the huntress, maybe she's got her kill and she wants to let go of that burden, you know, like having to go out and fight in the world on her own. And then there's like the mother with the boy in her lap. So it's really about womanhood for me. It's about all the aspects of womanhood. And I think that a lot of women for a long time have been presented unclothed in a very sexualized way. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is, has become a bit kind of one-dimensional and boring for me. And I wanted to present something that maybe had many more undertones than just being for the male gaze.
Well, yeah, the photo does not, it's not sexual.
It's naked,
but it's not. Yeah, it's very interesting. The album begins with a really, really beautiful song called Lilies. And how does that fit in thematically, that song, for you?
Lilies, for me, is like the grandmother of the whole album. Hmm. And she is the first song that I call her a she, but she's the first song that presented herself to me. And it was a huge relief. And it's funny because the actual song is about creative epiphanies and artist block, or being kind of desperate to conceive either an idea or a child or whatever it is. But I wanted to capture the starkness and the desperation of feeling empty, and then the jubilation and joy of feeling filled with life because you've been inspired, because something's come to you and all of a sudden you're alive. And I think like the joy in that song for me is really special. It's probably my favorite one.
This is Lilies.
Conceived in much.
Lilies from The Haunted Man, a live version from the stage of World Cafe Live with our guest today, Bat for Lashes. Natasha Khan is here. And the first song released was this beautiful ballad called Laura. And it's a little bit different than things I've heard you do before. In some ways, it's a little more straightforward. Mm. And that would seem to me to be a conscious choice, and particularly a conscious choice to put out as the first song we heard from this. What were your thoughts?
My thoughts for Laura were that the album felt like that it kind of had a gap for a piano ballad, but I've written so many piano ballads that sound so me. And I thought, well, it's the only song I co-wrote with somebody, and the reason being that the person I wrote it with, I think, has a great understanding of chord progressions and middle eights and all those traditional song structures
that I don't.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think I'm naturally subversive and I choose strange pathways and because I like them. And so it was an experiment really to see whether I could still communicate something devastating and magical and with interesting lyrical content that's kind of hanging over the top of like a 70s piano ballad.
Well, and it also, you know, it has all those consciously classic parts to it, and it's very, it's got a hook. I mean, it's got all those things that, you know, that you kind of, I wouldn't say you run away from them, but you try to subvert, I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting. I love it. This is a live version of Laura.
Thank you.
You may well know that one. That is Laura, a live version from the stage of World Cafe Live from Bat for Lashes. I love it that you don't mind extrapolating what a song is about. Some people resist doing that, and that doesn't bother you. You a little guidance is okay with you.
I think a little. Sometimes you don't want to explain away the magic. There's certain songs I wouldn't explain, but I think a few I don't mind.
Well, yeah. Thanks for giving us a little insight.
Thank you.
Bat for Lashes, Natasha Khan, our guest today here on the World Cafe.